And it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for this morning. Lord, I pray that this worship that we just brought to you, Lord, was pleasing to your ears, and that, Lord, you could see that it matched our hearts. Lord, I pray that we always come to you on a Sunday morning, Lord, every time we're together, with an open, loving, and respectful, and Lord, most importantly of all, appreciative heart for all that you've done. Oh, Father, to be able to sing of how your Son arose, knowing full well why he had to die. Lord, the victory that was wrought that day in the garden, and Lord, of course, the victory that was wrought that day in the grave. Lord, we are so grateful for everything you've done for us. Father, please help us as we serve you today. Lord, I pray that you speak to us now. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There is a very important component to what we just read. We see how in verse 10, Paul and Silas are sent away, and they are not to be discouraged. They are not to be stopped. We are here to preach the gospel. We are here to reason with people with the word of God. And just because you don't like it here doesn't mean we're going to quit. Why? Because we need to hear the gospel. Those who have never heard it before, those who have never done their business with God, need to hear the gospel. And I don't know about you, it's been a while since I've been saved. I still want to hear the gospel. And folks, I need it. Oh, remind me again. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Tell me again. I told you this. Sometimes people will come to give me the gospel, I let them do it. Why? I want to hear it. I'll read it again, over and over. They had no embarrassment about the word of God. They had no embarrassment about the gospel, just a desire to bring it to people and see their lives changed. To see shame and guilt be changed to victory and to adoption. Oh, what a joy it is when a soul is set free, and they were motivated and they pushed on. But you know what? The sermon is not about them. Verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Folks, today that is a magic trick. To be able to receive the word of God with a readiness of mind. There's a lot of different ways to hear the word of God. Some people, they have that readiness of mind. Oh, I wonder what we're going to hear today. Oh, I am looking forward to my reading. Oh, I read this thing today and I can't get it out of my mind. That's the goal. That's what we want to be. But that's not always what we are. Sometimes it's, I don't have time. Sometimes it's, well, we'll see if you can. Or it's, go ahead, they'll sit in the pews and they'll go, bless me if you can. It's almost like, please forgive me, but I've known some people that come to church and they've got the mindset already that that preacher ain't telling them nothing. And it's almost like trying to feed a toddler some squash or mushy peas. No. You put it down in front of them. Hey, here's what the Word of God has today. No. It's all over the floor. You know what they did? They received it. They said, yes, show us more. Where does it say that? They ask questions. Sometimes we've gotten so far down the road where we don't like to engage with the Word of God. We think it's almost an insult to the pastor or preacher to ask questions. You ought to ask questions. You ought to feel comfortable asking questions. I get a kick when people ask questions. Sometimes I turn them into sermons, and sometimes I turn them into thoughts of the day. I love questions. It's almost like a little brain teaser. Get me going. Get me excited. Recharges my batteries a little bit. Ooh, I'll go over here and I'll get to play with the thing for a little while. and then come back and say, oh, look what we found in the Word of God. We ought to desire to ask questions of the Word of God. But you know who taught us not to ask questions of the Word of God? People who thought that questions like that were quizzes and challenges to their authority. Don't read the Word of God. You're not smart enough to read it. You won't understand it. You need me to tell you what it means. Is that what the Word of God says?
No.
Isn't that weird? Well, you wouldn't be able to rightly divide it. You're young, you're old, you're a boy, you're a girl, you're this, you're that. You won't get it. Of course you can. It was written and preserved and designed for you yourself to read it, know it, love it. But no. No, if I ask too many questions, they'll think I'm challenging their knowledge. Challenge my knowledge. It's fun. Because if I find a hole, I want to seal it up, right? If I had a boat and I said, come on over, and you spotted a leak, would you be doing me a disservice to tell me it's there? I would say not. You wouldn't sit there and say, bon voyage, knowing I'm in trouble. No, we must. Let us ask questions. Let us be ponderous of the Word of God. What did they do? They gladly received a yes, please. And they had conversations and they worked together with a readiness of mind. And what did they do? They searched the Scriptures. Can I ask you a question? And this is going to be the question of the morning. How much do you know this book? How well do you know this book? Now, I know you know what the church believes, and I know you know what has been preached, and I know you know what we stand for, but the question is, do you know this book? Like walking through your house. Many of you, you've lived where you've lived long enough. Maybe not Brother Mike anymore. But many of us, we can get up in the middle of the night, pitch black, and roughly find our way around the house. Now, if you got kids, you're going to be doing it on hard mode. But you roughly know where to go. You could feel your way along, right? How familiar is the Word of God to you? Okay, all right. This is where we get to where we talk about Jacob. Okay, this is Romans. This is where we're talking about grace and its application in our lives. Okay, now Galatians. This is a church that's getting spanked, right? And okay, now 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It's about examining yourself. It's about being right. And we sit there and we go through without any pre-assumptions, but we're going through and we know where we're going. Well, brother, nobody can know the Bible perfectly. I know that's what makes it such a beautiful thing. But we should know where we're standing, where we stand. I like going to new places and seeing things. I like going through. There's several museums. There's that great big kids activity center down there in Flint. It's free for all the Genesee County people. You just take the kids in there, and it's like science experiments all over the place. And you get to learn about heat and sound and weather and all sorts of cool stuff. Big old thing for the kids to play with in the water. It's a great time. You go through there. I know my place through there. Every now and then I'll see something I didn't see before, and I go, ooh, look at that. That's going to happen through Scripture. Ooh, look at that. Oh, I didn't see that before. And I hope that never stops, but you should know what room you're standing in, and you should know roughly what's going on in that passage. We say, well, brother, some books are hard. Yes, some require more effort than others. Many of us, we can cut through the New Testament like hot butter, but we go through Malachi and we go, The back parts of Isaiah. Daniel. How about Daniel? I don't... Hosea? I bet if we race to find Hosea right now, some of us would be just a little embarrassed. Right? Hosea 1:1. Ready, charge. No. Some of you went for it. I'm proud of you. You're my kind of people. Do we know the book? And if we don't know the book, what are we doing about it?
See, we don't live in a world nor a society. We don't have the kind of mind where our knowledge is either or. You could be brilliant in science and mathematics. You can be a genius and a whiz in all things mechanical. You could have just knowledge beyond all reason in any kind of factoid you need to be productive in life and still know the Bible. As a matter of fact, some find that knowing the Bible enriches the other things. We don't have to choose. Well, you know, you can be either secularly smart or you can be biblically smart. No, I've known quite a few people who are geniuses in both. Well, they're naturally geniuses. No, you know, if you got to know them. You know what I mean? Brilliant, brilliant lawyers. Wonderful with the Bible. Their wives have to look after them. You know what I mean? Not naturally talented people to do both. We need the Bible. It enriches all things in our lives. We don't have to pick what we know. Our lives, all of our lives, should be dedicated to searching the Scriptures. You don't have to be great at it. You don't have to be wonderful at it. You don't even have to be skilled at all to start. You have all the materials you need right there in your lap. Oh, and you know what? Bibles, they're everywhere, aren't they? I saw a Bible yesterday. Somebody I know through the ministry, they started a Bible rebinding company. They take Bibles, they buy them brand new, they cut the stock covers off of them, put beautiful new covers on them. Bought a Bible probably for about $15, much like the same Bibles that we put out there. And they'll put a new cover on there, sell it for $200. And they got leather on those bindings so fancy, I can't even pronounce it. I don't know exactly what it was, but I tried to pronounce one I saw yesterday and I just giggled to myself. Sounds like I lost my mind. I'm like, he's trying to say it out loud, and you almost kind of sound like a baby trying to use words for the first time. 200, 300. I found a Bible one time. They wanted $700 for it. I went through the dollar store. I found one for $1.50. There you go. I don't want to pay anything. You got a cell phone? Yeah, I got a cell phone. Put it on there for free. People give them out all the time. Well, I was going to read my Bible, but I was traveling, and I didn't bring my Bible with me. You stayed at a hotel? Yeah, they still got them in there, man. I don't know who these Gideon people are, but, man, they've got Bibles everywhere. They're everywhere. We have all the tools we need. Now, are there other tools we could use? Absolutely. And you know what? We've never charged per head at the door to come in to hear the word preached. And as long as I'm the pastor, we ain't gonna. And you sit there, we're having a Bible conference, $50 per person. Why? Well, we got to pay the preachers. They got a speaking fee. Why? Paul here, we're Paul and Silas, they're preaching where people would pay them to shut up. People are threatening their lives. That's how free their preaching is. Oh my. No, we have the tools we need. Preaching, teaching, Sunday school, the morning devotions. We have what we need. We have fellowships, prayer bands, times to get together to be encouraged through the Word. And it is free. And it is available. We must search the Scriptures. And we see that they not only search the Scriptures in verse 11, but they search the Scriptures daily. Daily. I don't know about you, but I like to have a cup of coffee at least once a day. Some of you laughing because you know it's at least. Many of us, we like to do funny things like take showers, change our clothes, brush our teeth, comb our hair. We like to do that every day, weirdos. Many people, you get up, you do strange things like feeding your kids, going to work, And these are things we do day in, day out. We don't even think about it. You put gas in the car, it's no big deal. You buy groceries, you bring them home, you put them away, it's no big deal. It's just part of your daily routine. Nothing different, nothing weird, necessary. You wake up, you take your medication. Why? Because it is necessary. But yet when it comes down to searching of the Word of God, we don't have time. We are not motivated. I get up in the morning, I have to take my medication. And I got alarms I set to make sure I do, because I'm one of those people that once I get going, I'm going. And I'm not coming back. So the alarm goes off. Take your medication. Why do you take your medication? Because there are things that go wrong with your body and it prevents the things from happening. Yes? Spiritually, you need the Word of God like you need food. You need the Word of God like you need medicine. You need the Word of God like you need a teacher. We need it. It centers us. It brings us peace. It shows us how to be what I call fit for human consumption, because sometimes the mood we're in, we ain't. What does that mean, I'm not fit for human consumption? If you're feeling wild that day, if you're in a sinful mindset that day, you're going to go out and mingle with the people and you're going to hurt somebody. We're not just talking about being palatable, we're talking about being contentious. The Word of God helps us in these things. We must search it. We must search it daily. And we see that it's not just a matter of reading for the sake of reading for these people. Look at how deep they went to it. Whether those things were so. Pastor, are you telling me the Bible says I need to search the Scriptures to make sure what you're saying is right? But doesn't that challenge your authority? The only authority I have comes from the Word of God. It's the only thing I have to work with. Right? You come to a butcher and he gives you, what is that called? Impossible burger? You're going to have questions, right? Could I go to the butcher shop where you worked and say, hey, I'd like a vegetarian steak? You sit there and say, we don't do that here. Right? You go down to the car mechanic and they say, we only do bicycles today. You said, what? You want me handling what I'm known for handling, right? That should be the Word of God. And if I'm not handling it right, you ought to be smart enough to call me out on it. And if I, or any pastor, preacher, teacher, cannot rightly divide the Word of truth, if they cannot rightly divide the Word, they have no authority whatsoever, because their only authority is in this book, given to them by God. I veer from the book. I'm no longer what I should be. I stop selling meat and I start selling potato burgers. I'm no longer a butcher. What am I? I'm whatever you call people who make potato burgers. I don't know. This illustration is getting away from me. I hope you're still following me. We must have knowledge of the Bible. Every man, woman, and child must strive to know the Word. And for years, many people say, what do women really need to know the Word of God for? I don't know. What do men really need to know the Word of God for? You living? Ladies, you living? If you're living, you need the Word of God. That's it. Men, you need to know the Word of God. Ladies, you need to know the Word of God. What about us kids? We're too young. No, start learning the Word of God. And not just for Sunday school and through Sunday school. You're old enough to read a story from, you're old enough to read a chapter book, you ought to be in the Word of God. Now listen, we're not looking for some deep theology out of you. You're a student. Right? And we all need to come with that with the minimal amount of pressure possible. No one is looking for you to be the world's greatest theologian. You just need to start learning. Just start learning. If every person in the church would just start learning the way they should, it wouldn't be long before the church was packed with good theologians. And I'm not speaking to this one in particular, I'm speaking editorially. If across the world, every church member strove to begin to learn, it would not take long for that individual church to be packed with people who knew more of the Word of God. You ever hear of William Tyndale? William Tyndale is one of the first people translate the Bible into English. And William Tyndale, he had beliefs a lot like ours, not completely in sync, but he said this to a priest. He was being challenged by a priest for his beliefs. And of course, what he was doing, translating it into English, was highly illegal at the time. But he says this to the priest, if God spare my life ere many years, I will cause a boy that driveth the plow to know more of the scriptures than you do. Want to know why that's such a historically significant quote? Because no one was allowed to know the scriptures but the people in the office. And the people in the office did know the scriptures. We're not talking differences of opinion. We're talking if you sat them down with a pen and a paper, you gave them a test. Tisk, tisk. Tisk, tisk. Why is it important that the plowboy, the servant girl, the farmer, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the seamstress, the mayor, the police officer, the nurse, the doctor, why is it so important that they know the Word of God? Because that's what it was preserved for them to know and to live a life more abundantly thereby. So they can have peace that passeth all understanding. So they can know what to do when things get hard, and they know what to do when things are good. The Bible outlines all of that. I have never found a scenario happening today that did not go back to some connotation of scriptures. And if we apply ourselves to that knowledge, oh, how much more sweeter, oh, how much more easier our lives become. This word, one of the best things you can get to know. This word can be a help to you, a guide to you. Oh, it could be everything to you. Jump over to Psalm 119, verse 9. Some of you have to find your way there from Hosea. I saw you. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now listen, I know you're sitting, a young man, it works for everybody. Most of the time this is being spoken to someone directly. But in this case, everybody cleanses their way through the Word of God. Everybody. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You ever do something for the first time, and in doing something for the first time, you follow the directions? I know we joke, men don't like to follow directions, but you could pull my man card if you want. Sometimes I follow the directions. That's my confession. And you know what? If I'm super nervous about it, I will go step by step through those instructions. Step by step. Especially if I know there's something very serious that could happen, right? When I first learned how to run people's credit reports, it was a hard pull on their credit. It dinged. So I needed to make sure I put everything in right so I didn't go twice. And then I say, hey, listen, Matt, if you make this mistake, it'll do it twice and they'll be very angry at you. So don't ever do that. You better believe I stopped. I even put stuff in my ears so nobody would distract me. All right, Aha, it worked. We need to have such a high regard for the Word of God that we're willing to slow down our words and our actions to make sure we're not causing damage. To make sure that we are not sinning against Him. It ought to be there. And I've often said this, if you were in a position to where you were somehow removed from the Word of God, would you have enough to maintain your faith memorized? Would you have enough to keep you strong? Oh, we commit many songs to memory, but how much Scripture is there for the Holy Spirit to draw upon, to bring forward into our minds? That happens so very often to us, to where the Lord works that memory back. Hey, here's a verse pops into your mind right before you do something, or you're in such a way and the Lord brings something to your remembrance through the Holy Spirit, and you go, oh, okay, I got you. Ever happened to you? Sometimes it's not even a Bible verse. It could be a song, it could be a conversation, something that encourages you, something that checks you, something that puts you back in the right frame of mind. It's good to have His Word hid in our hearts that we would not sin. It is by the Word of God we can be cleansed of our ways. Many of us, we do. We get stuck in doing the same patterns of behavior over and over again. Patterns of behavior that don't help us. Patterns of behavior that are destructive to us. And we do them again and again and again. How do I get rid of it? Through the Word of God. No, you don't understand. I'm stuck. I feel like this is just who I am. I can't get rid of it. Listen to the book. There's one way to get rid of it. Applying heavy doses of the Word of God. Understanding it, cherishing it, holding it close, and here's a grand idea, trusting it. Well, the Bible says I shouldn't do this, and I really kind of think that it would make me happy, though. So you know what? I'm going to be the one exception. Oh, how special we are to be the one exception. It'd be fun. That's why we like superheroes. You know that, right? That's why everybody loves Superman when Superman first came out, right? Everybody's held down by gravity except for him. He's the exception. Everybody else is slower than a speeding locomotive, but not him. He's the exception. And we love the exception. Oh, we love the stories of the exception. Hey, listen, everybody's got to do this except for this person, right? I tell you what, my kids, if they ever get in trouble with the legal system, man, they are stuck. But man, if I was the president, never mind. I was the president, I could get them right off. I had to finish it. You guys were chuckling, yet I had to finish it. Exceptions. We love exceptions. But the fact of the matter is, there are no exceptions to the Word of God. Gravity takes everybody. Physics is physics. Science is science. You cannot break the laws of God. Well, physics ain't the laws of God. Who do you think put them in place? Who? Amen. Just the same as we see in the physical world, we see no acceptation to His Word. We have to trust it. And trust me, when you put that effort in, when you follow the Word of God the way that we should, we will find great success. We will find peace. We will find the happiness we were trying to find in other places. My brother's got this thing. He likes to go disc golfing every now and then. He goes, Matt, come on with me. Matt, come with me. Okay, fine, I'll go with you. And I saw him one day. What he was doing is he was kicking over trash cans. He was just moving trash cans over. I go, why are you looking in the trash cans? He goes, well, sometimes people put the little discs in there. You know, they take the Frisbees, they throw them into the basket, and sometimes people lose them, and then they'll hide them underneath things. He likes to go look for them. And I go, what? There was one time he saw a pond. He crawled into the pond up to his waist in this pond looking for stuff. What are you doing? Getting disc. Okay, buddy. He was in there when somebody threw theirs in. It went sailing over his head, splashed right next to him. He reached down, picked it up. The guy came over. Sorry, we kind of threw over here. He goes, it's okay, I got it. He threw the back at the guy. I got mine from the store. A lot less leeches at the store. A lot less garbage on my hands at the store. And I'll be honest with you, it feels honest. Feels honest. Why do we go to the cheap ways? Why do we go to the compromising ways? Why do we foul our hands and worsen our situation for hopes of happiness when God promises it through obedience. But you know what? It's a zero thing. And it's not even a little bit of a thing if we don't know the Word of God. How can we follow something we don't know? How can we trust God if we don't know Him? And how can we know Him if we don't know the Word? So by His Word, we can cleanse ourselves. And you know what we can do in knowing God's Word, in knowing how it works? We can rejoice. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And in my head, I hear Brother Dennis saying, thank you, Jesus. Well, what happened? Well, this happened and that happened, and out of nowhere, here comes the Lord and He takes care of it. I could have done this, but I did that instead. And while that was going on, this happened. We go, praise the Lord. Now, sometimes on a Friday, on our morning devotions on Friday, I get here much earlier. And I got here earlier because I just felt like having a pity party. And I was out there shoveling snow, pity party. I ought to cancel this. This snow is so deep. I didn't get the guy to come out and do the plowing. You know what? I got to be the worst at this. And I can't just really let myself have it. You ever do that? I just go into town. And behind me, I hear somebody driving through the parking lot. Now, I'm sitting there already grumbling, driving through the parking lot, turning around. Who uses the church parking lot? Turn around. It was the plow guy. The plow guy. He goes, hey, listen, I'm going to be out of town on Sunday, and I was already in the area doing the other people's I do. Is it okay if I just knock this out real quick? Yeah. That's good for me. Normally, I go out and I talk to him for a while. I had to go in and get some stuff right. Sitting there going, what? Don't you know that this is the Lord's thing? Don't you know that He says for us to get together and edify? Don't you know that He says that this is the way things should go? Don't you know this? And don't you know He's going to make sure that His stuff gets done? Sitting there getting so upset, you're upset at the sound of tires crunching through snow. Being that bothered. I really had to sit there, and I went from having a pity party to just preaching to myself. Don't you know God's word is God's word? Don't you know His promises are His promises? Well, brother, that's just a man who's having a scheduling issue. Oh no, I don't believe that. I don't believe in coincidence anymore. I've been doing this with him for too long. Where I've seen not only does he provide, but he corrects at the same time. Coincidence doesn't do that. Coincidence doesn't do that. When I need a good talking to, and something needs done, and I need to be shown, hey, this is exactly what we ought to be doing. Coincidence don't do that. Sitting there, crying. Had to come out, finish shoveling the snow, hoping the tears don't freeze on my cheeks. So the first person to show up for the coffee fellowship doesn't see I'm a great big baby. Just being honest with you. When we follow the Word of God, when we do what He tells us to do, stuff's going to happen that wouldn't happen if we didn't follow Him. So pick up the book. Commit it to memory. Fall in love with it. Follow it like a map. And watch what He does. Watch what He does. Might not make you rich. Definitely won't cause all the problems to go away. But man, it sure is nice to be able to combat it. Sure is nice to have a foothold. Sure is nice to know what to do. Sure is nice. I mean, I've been there. Well, somebody said this to me, so what am I supposed to do? Well, what I want to do is I want to sit over here and grumble. I want to call anybody who will listen to me and be sympathetic to me. And I want to whine about what it is that they did. What does the Bible say to do? Go to them with a forgiving spirit. Tell them the business. And if they want to make it right, it can be made right. If they don't want to make it right, at least make it right on your side. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did, and I forgive you. At least you know what to do. Won't always go the way we want it to. but your life will be better. I've done that before where I've had to go and I've had to apologize to people. This is what I did wrong. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that what I did wasn't fair. You're right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And meanwhile, they did just the same amount of wrong that I did or more. And they sat there and they said, well, I hope you don't expect an apology out of me. And I go, no, as long as you'll take my forgiveness without the apology, we're good. And I never have to think another negative thought about them. And I don't have to keep them solid locked up in the prison of my mind, hoping that my chains of bitterness will somehow wreak some kind of pain for them. No, I let it all go. I forgive them. I forgive them before the Lord. I forgive them before their face. We're good. And I can walk away knowing I not only have made it right, and I'm promising not to do it again, and I'm going to strive not to do it again, but they don't owe me nothing because I've already forgiven them. That's nice knowing nobody forgives you nothing. Nobody owes you anything. It's nice. When we listen to the Lord, when we follow His word, oh, the benefits. Right? I say this all the time. Sin will always do what it does. But I'll tell you this also. Obedience does what it does too. You do stuff right, you have less problems. You do stuff right, you end up with more blessings. You do stuff right, your attitude, your mindset, the way you think, the way you perceive the world around you, all of it is better. You are happier. You got less stress. You got less anxiety. No stress, no anxiety. Not a thing here on earth, but less. Very nice. And you get less. You get less. If we listen, if we obey, we will know what to do. Verse 105 of our text. When reading through the book of Psalms, we understand that these are songs. Many of them are songs, they're poems. And it's funny, you see Psalm 117. That's a small one. That's like a contemporary worship song. Few words. I sing that 19 different times. Psalm 119, that's the wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald right here. That is huge. But verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Go here. Don't go there. Step here. Don't step on that. We need the Bible to tell us what to do. Shouldn't I naturally know what to do? What on earth naturally knows what to do? Well, animals have a natural instinct. Animals mess up and get eaten all the time. Right? We set out mouse traps. We've caught the same mouse twice. The things don't learn. Got them in our garage once. We got them in our garage again. These things will not stay out of my garage. Right? They'll come out, they'll run out in front of the cats and dog. We had one come out before the cat, the dog, and the kids. Instincts. We should just naturally know what we're doing. We don't. We don't. What do we do for anybody and anything? We teach and we train, yes? We teach and we train. Here's what you need to know before you can do the thing. There are no natural born pilots where without any education, they can just fly a plane. There's no skilled job on earth where people just show up and they learn how to do it. It just doesn't happen. So why on earth could we live good, proper, God-honoring lives without education? We must take that word. It must be in our hearts. We must know it. We must love it. We must be devoted to it. We must use it to guide our decision making. Must use it to guide our decision making. And in doing this, we meditate. We meditate day in and day out. Not as we see it. We're no. We think on it. Over and over again. We think on these things. When I am sad, when I need encouragement, I think on the encouraging things. I think on the power of God. I think on how many times he's delivered. I think of what he has said about my situation. I think about what he says concerning his watch care and his love and how he takes care of us. These are the things we go over and over in our minds when we're having issues and we got problems we have to solve. It is those passages of scripture that speak on those things we run over in our minds, and we sit there and we filter through it. Okay, how does this apply? What can I do? Okay, well, you see how this is kind of going on there? Well, I need this. See how that happened in the Word of God? This is what God said to do. This is what I need to do, and this is how it'll look like in that situation. We all need to be masters at that process of meditating on the Word of God and making it a reality in our lives. All right, this is what he says to do, so this is what I'm going to do. Well, you know, sometimes I don't think it's very specific. You don't need a very specific solution all the time. Sometimes you need a broad and general solution to what's going on, and it's fine. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about social media and how people ought to behave on there. What do I do? Well, you fall back on what he says about human communication, period. Well, it doesn't say anything on what to do on this particular problem I'm having with my kids. Oh, yes, it does. You just ain't seen it yet. Ask somebody who knows. We'll help you. We'll help you find it. I may need a minute, but we can help you find it. It's there. Well, I got this situation with my boss. I don't know what to do with it. Oh, I can think of a couple passages of scripture that refer to your employment. Oh, there's so many things if we're just willing to meditate and put it to place. If you go back to verse 16 of our same text here, Psalm 119. Verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts, and I will have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Listen here. When we meditate on the precepts, when we respect his ways, when we delight ourselves in what he has to say about what to do, we're going to have a hard time forgetting it. And why would we forget it? Oh, there's some things that get pushed out of our mind as we learn new things, and sometimes we got to be reminded of things. But why would we move past the Word of God onto other things? Why would we? What is it in that Bible that tells you something you can't do that you can't see the reason for? Well, I disagree with God here and I disagree with God there. Are you sure you're right? If God is who he says he is, that's what bothers me. There's people out there, oh, we believe in God, and God is holy, and God is just, and God is righteous, and God is the source of all truth. Okay, but God says this, but you don't agree with that. Well, you know, you got to take that with it. No, you don't. Well, you can't take every part of the Bible seriously. Yes, you do. If God is who he says he is, and you disagree with him, well, let's go ahead and start taking bets on who's wrong. Right? I've told you this before. My father-in-law, brilliant mechanic, he could gently brush by your car, know exactly what's wrong with it. Probably tell you how many miles are on it just by listening to it run. He is a genius. I've driven a car since I was 16 years old. If he says one thing and I say another, who are you believing? You're sick in the hospital. The doctor's been with you all morning explaining in great detail what your situation is. I show up. They've got a medical degree. I watch some medical shows on television. Who are you listening to? Hopefully not me. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to pretend I know. So why do we sit there and say, well, this is what God has to say, but I don't like it, so... It's like we just read in the book of Job. Were you there when I built the foundations of the world? Were you there? When I created male and female, were you there? When I set this whole thing in motion? Hey, who did this, me or you? It's him. You know, I get it. If we want to sit, people who want to sit there and throw away any statute of God, go ahead. I mean, that's your doom. But don't sit there and try to accept God, but not what he has to say. That kills me. It says if we're going to worship God, we got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But no, the Word of God ought to be close to us. The Word of God ought to be dear to us. We need to understand that this is a love letter from God to you. Well, yeah, God to His believers. No, God to you. Yes, to His believers. And if you're a believer, you. It's for you. Think about this. There's a song. I think it was Greater Vision that sang it when I heard it. It was called The Other Miracles, and it refers to all the other miracles, because the Bible says we couldn't contain all the things that Christ did. And the singer in the song goes, I wonder what the other miracles were. All the things that he couldn't write down, I wonder what the other miracles were. And he goes, was someone kept from harm? Was there somebody in my exact situation that he did this for? And of all the other miracles, maybe there's another other miracle for me. Maybe not only can he do the same thing for me that he did for them, but maybe in my situation that's not expressly pointed out here, maybe he's got one for me. And a caring, loving Father does have one for us. The answer might not look the way we want it to, but often we find his answers to be complete and exactly what the situation called for. Oh, we need to trust in the Lord. But folks, we cannot trust in the Lord. We can't even see all of what He is doing if we don't know this book. You could be experts in many things. Man, you ever meet those people, they're experts in everything? Not the people who pretend to be experts in everything, but the people who really are. Like the tried and true jack of all trades. Just no matter what you needed, they know how to do it. There was a lady in our church, Shannon Stapleton. If there was a question I had, if there was a problem, I'd run it by her. Hey, what do you think about, oh, you do this, 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 and that. Oh, okay. Oh, what do you think about this? Well, you do this, 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 and that. And she was almost always right. And when I say almost, I mean, I'm sure she was wrong. It was just never with me. Every time. Had just an encyclopedic knowledge of what to do in different situations. I've known a lot of people like that through the years. You could be an expert in a lot of things. Go ahead. That's good. It's good. World's better for you. But if you must be an expert in anything, be an expert in the Word of God. Expert in your field. Expert in that job that makes your brain tingle, makes you happy, makes you jump out of bed. Fantastic. Also be an expert in the Word of God. Well, won't one cancel out the other? I hope not. The only thing the Word of God cancels out is evil. And most people ain't in the business of evil that I know of. They want to be in the medical field. They want to be engineers. They want to be workers in one way or the other. They want to be police officers. They want to be this or that. Go ahead, be that. Be spectacular at that. But also, be an expert in the Word of God. And if you're sitting there like I have so often and said, well, here's the thing about being an expert. I'm not exactly expert material. I've got deficiencies in this and deficiencies in that. The same God that tells you to become an expert in the Word of God is going to be the one who helps you. And that's a hard lesson to learn, is that the God that tells you to do something is going to be the God that helps you to do it. We get the kids, they're doing chores in the house. And I have to tell them, because they're little mavericks, I'm not making you do this because I don't want to. So if you get into a pickle, let me know, right? It's not to take it off my plate, it's to teach you how to do it. So if you're sitting there and you can't lift something, call me, I'm here. And half the times I have to watch him. Gideon's getting to the point where he's taking the trash out. Sometimes that bag is bigger than he is. Doesn't stop him, there's more fight in that dog than there is fight. You know, he'll do it. Like, I got to watch him because he'll wear his back out if I don't stop him. And we sit there, we think that's what's going on. Well, God asked me to do it. I'm all by myself. God asked me to do it. I got to do this, but I'm not really good, so I'm going to stress myself out, making my brain and my body do things that it's not supposed to do. And we wear ourselves out, and we get burned out in the ministry. Because all we do is we look at what we think we are capable of, and we look at what God wants us to do, and we see the deficit, and we blow up at it. You know what? God's going to make sure that what you need to do is possible. Somebody showed me this. It was a Bible for people with dyslexia. I'm not an expert, but I know some people with dyslexia. You know what that is? That's when the words dance around on you. I go, that's fantastic. I don't know much about it, but that's fantastic. Well, why is that fantastic, brother? People with dyslexia are going to be able to read the Bible. That's fantastic to me. Well, they need to work hard at... Sure. But you know what? Isn't it nice when we got tools? I mean, honestly, we could sit there, we could share a Bible as a church, and it's just your job to make sure you got time with it. But isn't it nice that you've got one you can read? God's going to make these things possible. The original Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek. Do me a favor. I know it's Sunday morning, and we don't want to look Pentecostal. Pop a hand up if you can read Hebrew and Greek. I gotta put my hand down. I almost lied. We don't, do we? Who made it possible for you to be able to read it today? God did. Who preserved it through all these people wanting to destroy it? God did. Who makes sure that you have a copy right now? God does. God does. So when it comes down to you knowing the Word of God, who's going to help you overcome the obstacles that you have that I'm sure are very real? With no sarcasm in my heart, we've all got obstacles. Who's going to help you overcome them? God will. But you must trust Him. Well, how do I trust Him? What does trusting Him look like? Crack the binding. Put your eyes on the page. Give her a shot. There's no other better way to show your trust in the Lord than by taking those first steps. You may have to pray before you do it. Lord, help me. You may have to hog tie the kids. You may have to shut off the cell phone. You might have to throw the television outside. Whatever it takes, we must know the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd make each and every one of us a student of this book you've preserved. Father, we praise your name and we are thankful for preserving this book, giving it to us, and Lord, helping us to have teachers and preachers and pastors, Lord, to explain this stuff to us. And Lord, copies available everywhere. Oh, Lord, please help us not to become strangers to your word. But Lord, let us lovingly, longingly go to your word, read it, meditate on it. Lord, know it. Oh, and Father, help us to reach past the old nature of ours to disobey you. And Lord, instead take your word and apply it generously to our lives. Help us, Lord, to follow your example. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.